Well, amen for that. What a blessing, Brother Mike. I'm telling you, he's loaded for bear tonight. Good gravy. I asked the teenagers over here a while ago, I said, y'all like songs like this? I said, oh, yeah, those country songs? Yeah. Madison called it the Tennessee Christian song. Is that right? Tennessee Christian song. That's what we were singing tonight. So. Amen. What a wonderful God. However we get it out, it's just we made it make sure we're glorifying God. Amen. And what a place. I'm telling you, I love it. I love it. It's been such a blessing just to spend time diving through the Scriptures and spending time meditating on what a God and all He has for us. And as you've already seen, He gives us glimpses and just enough. Before Christmas or birthday, if you got a present already wrapped, if you were like we do with our kids, you kind of get them up a little early. And so it's part of the fun, right? And so they go and they take them and they're trying to size it up, shake it a little. They'll hear a little jingle here or feel a little substance or whatever. And that's kind of God does with heaven. He gives us enough information to let us know, man, when you get home, it's going to knock your socks off. You're not going to be able to imagine all I've got prepared for you. The Spirit of God that lives inside of us is referred to as the earnest of our inheritance. My friend, he's just the down payment of what God has got prepared for us. And so I have a ball with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. He's wonderful. He's good. He sets us apart, as she just sang a while ago. He's so wonderful, the liver of God inside of us, and I can't wait to be in glory. I want you to take your Bibles tonight and turn to Revelation to begin with. I want to turn you through some passages of Scripture. Revelation chapter 7 to begin with. Revelation chapter number 7 is where we will begin. Revelation chapter 7. I want to share with you some of the things as you move through the book of Revelation and many other portions of Scripture, but I want to confine it here. I've got 11 points to get through tonight as it is. Thought I'd be honest with you, but we'll move it through. Revelation chapter 7, look at, if you will, verse number 16. Notice this terminology, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Turn, if you will, to chapter number 14. Chapter 14, verse number 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Now turn to chapter number 21. We read over these verses last week and covered everything around them, saving these verses for tonight. Revelation chapter 21. Verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Verse number 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And then look in chapter 22 and verse number 3. He says, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. May the Holy Spirit bless the reading of His Word to our hearts. I want to try to make our way through these passages tonight. That is my goal. And so we're going to move through these. I just want to share with you, this is our fifth message on heaven. We've talked about the biblical foundation for heaven, went through all of those particular seven major phrases used throughout Scripture to depict heaven. And then we talked about, for 2 weeks, we talked about our bodily form, what our bodily form would be, both the pre-resurrection as well as the post-resurrection body. And then last week, we talked about the beautiful features of heaven and just described our capital city, the New Jerusalem, and all of the things that the Holy Spirit of God chose to tell us about that new city, and it is fascinating and it's phenomenal. Tonight, I just want to deal with something that's kind of practical, kind of simple, something we can grasp, something we can relate to. Not only when we get to heaven, we can relate to it right now with an anticipation of it, and that is the blessed freedoms of heaven. The blessed freedoms of heaven for God's people. They're described, as we read multiple times in these few verses, and that is the no mores. The no mores. And so tonight I want to preach to you on the subject matter of the land of no more. See, we've already seen from text early on that we've described that the apostle says heaven is better and heaven is gain. So we get more than we ever had. But one of the best parts of heaven is what is emphasized throughout Scripture, and not necessarily what will be there, but the absence of what won't be there. It is all the things that plague us in this life. Heaven won't be like this life. Sometimes we wonder, we get discouraged, and we say, why is it so bad here? And we're reminded that's because we ain't home yet. It's supposed to be bad, amen? It's supposed to be difficult. There's supposed to be strains and trials and tribulations and struggle because we're not home yet. If it was all smooth all the time, we may want to pinch ourselves and wonder, are we home in heaven yet? Because heaven is the place of the no mores. He describes over and over and over of what heaven is not. I'm not entirely picky. Yeah, there's a handful of vegetables and a few fruits I'm not crazy about. And so if you say, hey, I'd like to have you over for dinner, I'm not so much interested in what you are having as opposed to what you're not having. See, if you tell me you're going to make a dessert, I'm all about desserts. I've got a sweet tooth. I love it all. I just got one question. Does it have coconut in it? Because if it don't have any coconut, I'm probably going to enjoy it. If it's got coconut, my friend, that came from Hades. You're going to be no coconut in heaven. Well, God's going to lift the curse from our taste buds, my taste buds. We're going to enjoy it through glory. But anyway, so heaven is that way. Heaven is great because of what's not going to be there. Listen, we can rejoice about what our heavenly home is going to be for eternity on what's not there. I want to share with you some things. I got 11 points. Run with me, all right? Don't walk. Run with me through these 11 things of the no mores. We began in Revelation chapter number 7 and verse number 16 and 17, where he pointed out some things that won't be there. He says, there'll be no more hunger, neither will they thirst. He goes on in verse 17, he says, here's why. He says, because I'm going to feed them and I'm going to lead them by living waters. There will be no more deprivation, no more hunger, no more thirst. There will be food and there will be water. There will be drink in heaven. It comes in different forms and fashions. Somebody wondered this week, will there be Coca-Cola there? My friend, I don't know if God's got a Coca-Cola factory in heaven. But I promise you, whatever you drink or eat in heaven, my friend, there's nothing on this planet. You know, if you want to take me out for probably the finest meal, you got to go one of two directions. Either we got to go to Chattanooga to eat chicken, or you go to Longhorn and you get an outlaw ribeye. I'm telling you, when you eat those things, you're wondering, really, can heaven's food really be this good? Is it going to be any better than this? And the reality is, my friend, ain't nothing like it on this planet. Nothing will be compared. And so heaven's going to be good. There's going to be eating. And again, as we talked about last week, there's no calories. We don't eat because we have to do to live. We just get to eat because it's enjoyable. You know, the Lord described heaven quite often about how that it is defined by the banquet of heaven. In fact, Jesus described in Matthew 8:11, he says that there's going to be many that come from the east and the west, and they shall sit down. Literally, the word is to recline with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Reclining was the posture for feasting. When Jesus ate the Last Supper, they ate reclining. They reclined in Jewish tradition, not sitting up at a table, reclining as they ate their meal. In fact, when you read Revelation chapter number 19 and verse number 9, there is what will be characterized as the marriage supper of the Lamb. Supper to the Jews was the chief meal of the day, and God says in heaven, we're going to have it all. We're going to have the best. In fact, remember what the Lord Jesus said as he demonstrated the ordinance of the Last Supper? He said, I will no longer drink it with you until when? Until the future time in the kingdom of God. Now, there'll obviously be the millennial kingdom where Christ will enjoy that. But that's just an expression, a small sampling of what eternity would be. And so the Bible describes this no more deprivation. There's no more hungering and there's no more thirsting of flesh. Not only of flesh, but there's no more hungering or thirsting of spirit. The Bible tells us in Matthew 5, 6, blessed are they who hunger now, for they shall be filled. When you read the psalmist in Psalms 42, verse 2, Psalm 63, verse 1, you hear the psalmist crying out in this word, Lord, he says, it's like I'm living in a dry desert and I can't find an oasis and I'm thirsty, not thirsty for water. God, I'm thirsty for you. I'm hungry for you, God. I hunger to be all that I'm anticipated and expected to be from your glory. And God says, when you get to heaven, you're going to get it, my friend. No more hungering, no more thirsting. You know what that means? Since there's no more deprivation according to this passage, it means there's not going to be any more homeless people. There's not going to be any more food banks, no more soup kitchens, no more rationings, no more starvation, no more malnutrition, no more preservatives, no more fast food, thank God. My friend, you want to read about a table, read about Solomon's table. Read just the texts that are given to talk about how much food Solomon fed his realm every single day. And then Jesus steps on this earth and says, I'm telling you, in your presence is one greater than Solomon. When you look forward to heaven, there's not going to be any more deprivation. Number two, there's no more disasters. Chapter 7, verse 16 says, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. What he's describing here is this overbearing sun, overbearing heat. As we were just talking to the gentleman who brought in the Uganda children, he was talking about the best time to visit Uganda, and he was talking about the particular time of year. He says, it's just nearly unbearable heat, unbearable to deal and endure the heat during that time. Well, here, as God describes and speaks to even a Jewish a culture of an arid part of the world, dealing with the heat and the sun. That's why it was such a blessing to have that pillar of a cloud by day that gave shade to all the children of Israel as they traveled through the wilderness for 40 years. God says, when you get home, the weather's going to be perfect. See, I like it a little bit cool. I like the 60s and the 70s with a strong breeze. My wife, she don't like that a little bit. Not without several layers of clothes. She likes the heat, the dead heat of summer. She likes it hot. And I'll tell you what, when the Lord saved me from hell, I don't want anything any resembles that kind of heat, amen? I'm telling you what, she asked, you want to go to Orlando? I says, why? Why'd anybody want to go to Orlando? And so here's the thing, when you get to heaven, that there's not going to be any more complaining about the heaven. There's no more checking the weather. There's no more wondering if it's going to do this or it's going to do that. You ain't got to deal with those prissy little weathermen anymore. No more storms, no more hurricanes, no more tornadoes, no more hail, no more floods, and no more droughts, my friend. It's just perfect every single day throughout eternity. Thank God, no more disasters. Then thirdly, there's no more danger. When you read this text in Revelation chapter 7, he begins in verse 13. He's talking about these witnesses that will be ransomed, that are witnesses during the tribulation period, and they're coming through one of the most difficult times this earth will ever know. In fact, the most difficult time the earth has ever known. And he describes here the dangers that arrest them, verse 13, and one of the elders answered and said, what are these that are arrayed in white robes, and where do they come from? And I said, sir, you know. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. These are the servants of God during that great devastation of 3.5 years where all hell breaks loose upon this earth and there's great suffering upon this earth. And these will be faithful witnesses who will give their lives, who will die martyr deaths. And he says, they've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That's the only way you get your soul white, my friend. The Bible describes us in heaven wearing white, which represents the righteousness of the saints. And me and you ain't got any righteousness. How do we get righteous clothing? It's because Christ saves us, changes us, makes us righteous through His own blood. The only people in heaven, my friend, are blood-bought people. Verse number 15, therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple, and He that sits on the throne shall dwell among them, and they shall hunger no more. And then verse 17, for the Lamb which is in the midst shall feed them, shall lead them unto living waters, and God shall wipe away all tears. He describes here there's no more dangers. They've been through their disasters. They've been through their tragedy. They've been through the tribulation, and they've come through it, and they gave their lives a martyr death. But my friend, nobody's going to touch them again. Nobody's going to lay a hand on them again. In fact, when you read the Lord Jesus as He's giving those great challenges to His people to be bold witnesses, He tells them this. He said, listen, they're going to kill you. They're going to carry you before synagogues. They're going to carry you before courts. They're going to kill you. But He says, not one hair of your head shall perish. The worst they can do is take your life, my friend. And Jesus says, even when they take your life, all that does is usher you up instantaneously into the very presence of God. No more danger, He says. Since there's no more danger, that means there's no more persecution, no more adversaries, no more abuse, no more rude bosses, no more bad neighbors, no more difficult family members. Can I get an amen? No more government oppression, no more IRS, no more alarm systems, no more threats, no more insurance companies. My friend, there won't be any need because there's no more danger to God's people. Number four, there's no more debility. In chapter 14, in verse number 11, we read that text, that great text. Oh, it's such a blessing. You hear it quite often read at funerals, and rightfully so for those who know God. But Revelation chapter 14, again, dealing with these who've come out of this great tribulation, landing their place in glory. He says in chapter 14, verse number 11, that he describes those in verse number 13. He says, right, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Heaven is classified by no more debility, no more weaknesses, no more tiredness, no more fatigue, no more sweat, no more sore feet, no more exhaustion, no more strain, no more muscle cramps. No more Bengay, no more vitamins, no more CPAP machines, not even any more power naps. Now, I want to tell you what, you kind of wish that one was still left there. I mean, a good meal and a nap kind of feels a little bit like heaven. Problem is, my friend, we won't need no more naps. The Bible says God raises us up in bodies of power. We don't ever get tired. We don't ever need no nap. That's going to be good when you don't ever even feel like you need to sit down and relax. Amen? Heaven is a place of no more debilities. Not the limitations that we face here and all the things that plague us from even enjoying a day so much of the time. My friend, God says heaven has no more of that. You rest from your labors because you're glorified in perfect strength. Not only that, there's no more distractions. Look in chapter number 18. Revelation chapter 17 and chapter 18 are all about God's judgment on the great whore, which is false religion, and upon Babylon, which is the centrality of the power and political power of the earth. Babylon, which is either symbolic or legitimate power during the time of the tribulation. It symbolizes where false religion got its birth at the Tower of Babel, and in such confusion was brought. But the central part of Babylon is talking about all of its lavish goods, all of its merchandise, all of its singing and dancing and partying. And Revelation 18 describes the party's over. God destroys false religion and the whore, and it destroys Babylon, this deceptive city. And describes, my friend, heaven is going to be a place of no more distractions, no more worldliness, no more false religion. He describes in verse number 21, and a mighty angel took up a stone and cast it in the sea, saying, thus with violence shall the great city of Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. and the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpets shall be heard no more at all in you. God stops their music. No more craftsman, and whatsoever craft he be, it will be found any more in you. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in you. And the light of a candle shall not shine any more at all in you. And the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride shall be heard no more at all in you. For your merchants were great men of the earth, for by your sorceries were all nations deceived. And God says, there's no more of that. He does away with false religion. He deals away with all the distortions and the deceit and the distractions of worldliness, all the things that lure with us, that try to make friends with us, that try to draw us, as James 4 says, into spiritual adultery against God, playing on our hearts to make us enemies of God. God says, heaven, there'll be no more of that. No more distractions, no more enticing sales, no more casinos, no more bars, no more drugs, no more pornography, no more greed, no more stock markets, no more loans and debts, no more Mormons on their bicycles, no more mosques, no more liberal theology, and no more phony shysters on the television. Amen. Trying to eke out every last dime out of widow women. No, my friend, there'll be no more of that. Revelation chapter 21, in the first three verses, we covered this last week, so I don't want to go in extents, but the Bible tells us there will be no more distance. No more distance. The first three verses describe, we read in verse number 1, where he describes the new heaven and the new earth, there is no more sea. Now, theologians debate back and forth of what it means to be no more sea. Some think, well, it's such a turbulence, it's a representative of the turmoil and the turbulence that's in the world. Others say the new heaven, new earth, where the earth now is three quarters water, it causes distance, it causes nations to be divided. And he says there'll be no more sea, so there'll be no more divisions. They think that's typological emphasis of the unity and the togetherness of the new heavens and the new earth. My friend, one thing as you read the rest of the verses, here's what you find. God brings His temple to you and he tabernacles and He dwells with us. And so if it depicts no more distance with men, great, but it definitely depicts no more distance from God. In fact, Revelation chapter 3, verse 12 tells us that He makes us pillars in the house of God and we will never leave again. We're in His presence. You can't ever get out of His presence again. He says, we are engulfed in the very throne and temple of God in His glorious presence. And so not only is heaven a place where there's no more distance. The Old Testament saints died. Here's what you'd read often. And they were gathered to their people. And they were gathered to their people. Through the New Testament, Jesus is always saying, you're going to get together with all these Old Testament saints. The Bible tells us in the rapture, and we shall be caught up together to meet the Lord together in the air, and so shall we all be with the Lord forever. It describes no more distance between our loved ones, no more distance between God. My friend, the very fact that heaven is about our constant dwelling in the presence of God means this: there's no more doubts, and there's no more faith. Isn't that a blessing? No more doubts, and no more faith. Why? Man don't need a faith when his eyeballs are viewing the face of God and living in His very presence. There's no more loneliness, no more fasting, no more groaning, no more waiting, no more patience. My friend, we are in the glorious presence of God, no more distance. I say, my friend, if that's the only point God ever put in His holy word of what to look forward to, I'd say, hallelujah, Lord God, come quickly. No more distance. Then there's no more depression. We read it there in verse number 24, or chapter 21, verse number 4, as well as we read it in chapter 7, verse number 14. Here's the emphasis of Scripture. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now, that's incredible because He says not only that, but there'll be no more crying and no more sorrow. The Bible depicts here that God wipes away our tears. Is that not incredible? So see, life is full of tears. Life is full of sorrow. It's got its wealth of weeping that comes along with it. And when we stand, it's as if we're standing before God and there's something that moves our heart, whether we're weeping because of our offense toward God, upon what we could have had, what we could have done after the judgment seat of Christ, when we realize all the loss that we suffered, who knows? But the Bible says intimately God wipes away our tears. and there's no more of it. There's no more crying, and there's no more sorrow. When you read through the book of Isaiah, let me just give you real quickly a couple of passages. Isaiah chapter 61, Isaiah 61, in verse number 3. Verse 2 talks about the first coming of the Lord, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The second half of the verse, the vengeance of God, this God closing things up. Verse number 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, all of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Listen to Isaiah 65, in verse number 18. But be you glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I, God says, will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall no more be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. My friend, here's the thing about it. Heaven is no longer going to have the sorrows and the tears and the weeping that we endure here in this world. And the fact that it's no more, in fact, God says it's the opposite. It's a place of joy. God says, I'm happy, you're going to be happy. God says, there's going to be joy, there's going to be the thrill, there's going to be the blessing, there's going to be the singing. God describes heaven as a place where there's no more depression. When there's no more depression, that means, my friend, in heaven there'll be no more hurt feelings. So some of you sensitive people, my friend, your hurt feelings, you ain't got to worry about that anymore in heaven. No more loss, no more regret. No more anxiety, no more broken hearts, no more shame, no more embarrassment, no more offenses, no more fear, and no more bitterness. My friend, heaven is a place where that stuff is no longer. It is no more. Thank God for the joy of heaven. But Revelation 21:4 goes forth. And he tells us not only that, but there'll be no more death. Seems kind of obvious. The one we need to wrap our mind around and be mindful of. Revelation 21:4 says that God will wipe away our tears and there shall be no more death, he says. No more death. In fact, chapter 2, verse number 11, he promises to those who overcome, they will not taste of the second death. The second death is what grabs a hold where the wicked will be resurrected for eternity in the lake of fire. Here he says there's no more death. In fact, Revelation chapter 20, verse number 14 says this, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. God takes death itself and hell. Death has the grave has the body. Hell has the soul. God says, I take all the instruments of death, death the grave, and hell the body, and he casts both of them into the lake of fire. And according to 1 Corinthians 15:26, death is the last enemy that is defeated, and there's no more death. Heaven is a place where there's no more death. You know, death, my friend, listen, thank God when a faithful Christian man or woman of God leaves this world, I've been in some funerals that almost turn into shouting fits, amen? I mean, they turn into really tremendous celebrations, and they ought to be. When a man or woman's going to be with their father, they ought to got to be where we're just waiting still to go. But there's something about it. I mean, even from a young man, I remember my family, I don't know how y'all's family, we used to do wakes at home. Y'all ever do any of that? Yeah, my grandma, I never forget, as a little boy, my Uncle Donald died, and I go to grandma's house, you know, used to it smelling up with good cooking and a warm place to go into, and I walk in the door, and there's Uncle Donald laying in his casket in the living room. The living room never was quite the same after that for a little kid, amen? You go to enough wakes, and you go to enough funerals, and all of a sudden, there's just some things about funerals. And God says, when you get to heaven, there's no even a glimpse of death. There's no scent of death. There's no more suicides or homicides. There's no more aging, no more wars, no more guns, no more hospitals, no more funeral homes, no more cemeteries. Thank God, no more plastic flowers, no goodbyes, no caskets, and no sad songs, and no more obituaries. My friend, heaven is a place where there's no more death. Never enters our mind ever again. 9, there is no more discomforts. No more discomforts. Verse number 4 again says, not only is there no more death, sorrow, and crying, neither shall be there any more pain, for the former things are passed away. God says, listen, death is not only removed. There's one thing you know will never come in the doors of heaven. That is, there's no more pain. How many of y'all live with some sense of pain even right now as you sit here? Isn't that something? And God said, listen, instant promotion. Instant upgrade. Listen, we want to see Jesus. That's our goal of heaven. But I want to tell you what, it's almost right behind that. No more pain. Thank God. God says heaven is a place where there's no more discomforts. The word pain deals with toil and anguish. The Bible tells our resurrected bodies are of incorruptibility. They're of power. And so there's no going to be any more back pains, no more headaches, no more fevers, no more allergies, hallelujah, no more diabetes, no more eczema, no more liver troubles, heart troubles, kidney troubles, no more dialysis, no more shots, no more medicines, no more therapy, no more chiropractors, no more dentists, hallelujah, no more doctors, no more surgery, no more flus, thank God, no more chemotherapies, not even heartburn or indigestion, my friend. In heaven, there's no more pain. Thank God. Thank God for that. Number 10, there's no more depravity. And I want to tell you what, with really everything, to be honest, this makes heaven. No more depravity. See, the Bible describes, as we read a while ago in 22, verse number 3, there's no more curse. So when Adam and Eve sinned, the curse came, the curse which cursed the ground that brings all the pestilence, all the trouble that we see in this world. It brought the sweat of a man's weak body. It brought pain and childbearing and child rearing, brought struggle in marriage, struggle in flesh, and ultimately death. But in chapter 21 and verse number 8, he says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Verse 27 of the same chapter, and there shall in no wise enter anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works abomination or makes a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Chapter 22 and verse number 15 says, for without, outside of heaven, are the dogs and the sorcerers and the whoremongers and the murderers and the idolaters and whatever makes a lie. Here's what it tells us. My friend, in heaven there's no more depravity. There's no more sin. We say goodbye once and for all to sin, never to meet it again. My friend, if we're honest, the thing that has wrecked our lives and wrecked this world, without question, there is no other debate, there is no other route, it is sin. Sin has brought death. Sin has brought all the devastation that we see. But God says, heaven, there's no speck of sin. There's no depravity, which means there's no more envy, there's no more hatred, there's no more anger, there's no more misunderstandings, there's no more slander, no more gossip, no more complaining. That'll help some of y'all. No more deception, no more prisons, no more rehab, no more dissension, no more drugs, and no more gangs. My friend, when God deals away with the curse and we get to have, my friend, listen, everything rewound and at a stable place where it can never be undone, imagine how, I can't even imagine that. I can't imagine a place where there's no more sin, no more temptation, no more ability to fail God. The greatest horrors in my life, the greatest heartbreak in my life are my failures before my loving Redeemer. And God says in heaven, get ready, there's no more depravity. And I've gone through 10, you got time surely for one more. Save the best for last. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. He pictures here a war in heaven, a war between the holy, righteous angels of God and the fallen angels led by the dragon, which is Satan himself. And verse 7 says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, that is Satan, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And that great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan was deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And a good riddance at that. Chapter 20, Revelation. Verse number two. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent which is called the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should not deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. There's Satan. He's kicked out of heaven. Now he's bound during the millennial kingdom, the 1,000-year reign of Christ upon this earth. Satan is bound in hell, in the bottomless pit for this 1,000 years. Then he's released for a time at the end, and he deceives those of wicked heart, and they're judged ultimately. Verse number 10 says this, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever." The devil who robbed me of a childhood. The devil who ruined my mother's life. The devil who robbed my dad of fatherhood. The devil who deceived so many people near and dear to me. The devil who keeps so many in these bound to these drugs, they can't even think through a day. The devil who's destroyed people all over this world. My friend, there's coming a day he gets his due once and for all. My friend, there's a lake of fire prepared by God, a place prepared. Heaven's prepared for us. God prepared a place just for the devil, just for the old serpent. My friend, in hell, he's going to be there forever. I'm thank God when we get to heaven, I'll never have to even think about that rascal no more. I'm telling you, I thank God so much. I have the victory over him in life. But in heaven, I'll never even have to hear his name. In heaven, I want to tell you, there'll be no more temptation. There's no more affliction, no more schemes and tricks and lies and traps and oppression, no more battles, no more spiritual warfare, no fake news, which Satan obviously drives, and no more manipulation. My friend, heaven is going to be pure and clean and glorious, and no more devil forever. Part of the joy of heaven will be, no, that sucker's in there in heaven suffering torment every single day and night forever. Amen. Thank God that's the place I'm going. Now think about it. The Bible says, "And they gave up the ghost and they were gathered to their people." Who's your people, my friend? Are you going to the place of the nevermores? Because if you don't go to the place of the nevermores, read up about hell and you'll find out everything heaven is discarded. Hell has all the pain, all the darkness, all the affliction, all the struggle, all the fatigue, all the restlessness for eternity. My friend, you want heaven, the place of the nevermores? You'll find out who gets to go there. Read Revelation. Here's what it'll tell you over and over. It's those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Because we, like those tribulation saints, must come before Christ dirty and unclean, humble ourselves before the Lord Jesus Christ, confess Him as Lord. Had a man tell me tonight, he said, "Oh, I believe in Jesus." And I said, "Well, you got to accept Him as your Master and Lord." He says, "Oh, no, I'd never put anybody on that pedestal. Ain't nobody going to be my boss. Ain't nobody going to be my master." And I said, "Sir, one day every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess. You either do it willingly and enjoy the glories of heaven, or, my friend, listen, the Bible tells us you'll be forced to upon your knees. What will you do? What will you do? Confess Christ? Or, my friend, allow your life and your mind to stay trapped and in bondage and slavery? to the hard and devilish taskmaster of the dragon. God help us. Be ready for a prepared place called heaven. Let's bow for prayer.